chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 8 through to verse 20. Luke chapter 2 and from verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And we're thankful for the privilege of being able to read the Word of God together. If we were to put a heading over this evening's message, we'd perhaps put the heading, "Good News When We Need It Most." Good news when we need it most. I suspect that we all have had times in our life, perhaps many times in our life, when we felt that we could really do with some good news. And I suspect that for many people, probably most people in this country and probably in the world, they've thought that at some points this year. They've thought, "I really wish we could get some good news." Maybe you're feeling like that just now. Maybe you listened to all the news coming out last night and you thought, "I just wish we could have some good news." And we've read it tonight, haven't we? We've read good news. And we're gonna spend some time enjoying the truth of that good news. That good news that was first brought to those shepherds. Now, for the shepherds that night that we read of, it started as an ordinary night, but it quickly became completely extraordinary, didn't it? Here were shepherds. Now, shepherds were generally not particularly high-ranking members of the society of the time in which these events took place. You know, they were not allowed, for example, to give testimony before the religious court of the day. And because you didn't really get a day off as a shepherd, it was a 7-day job, you couldn't really observe all the ceremonial laws that were in place religiously at the time. So you ended up being pretty much on the edge or off the edge of religious circles. And you would generally struggle to keep yourself ceremonially clean according to the religious laws of the day. So, as a shepherd, you were certainly not, let's say, a high-ranking member of society. In fact, really, anything but, pretty much. But it was to these shepherds that the most wonderful news that the world could ever hear was about to be revealed. We're going to learn two lessons this evening under this heading: good news when we need it most. First of all, we're going to look at verses 8 to 14. And we're going to see that we must hear the good news. Well, assuming that you stay awake and alert for the next few minutes, all good, you're going to hear the good news. So we're going to see from verses 8 to 14, we must hear the good news. And then we're going to look in the next section, verses 15 to 20, that we must respond to the good news. We must respond to the good news. So let's look first of all at verses 8 to 14. We must hear the good news. So suddenly, into this probably very ordinary night, for this very ordinary group of people, suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to them. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of God himself, shines around. And we're probably not too surprised, are we, to read that the shepherds were filled, verse 9, with great fear. Seeing an angel. Beyond that, seeing something that was probably more spectacular and majestic than we could ever imagine. Breaking into the dead of that of night into what had been an ordinary, probably as far as the shepherds were aware, night. Something extraordinary had already happened. But the shepherds didn't know about that yet. And suddenly, the brilliance beyond what we can really imagine of the glory of the Lord appears. And an angel of the Lord appears. And we can't really blame the shepherds for being filled with great fear, can we? They were filled with great fear. And I suspect that each one of us can identify with having at some point, and perhaps even now, having been filled with great fear. I doubt if any of us have had our night shift interrupted by the presence of an angel. But I suspect we all know what it's like to experience great fear. You know, maybe it's been the events of this year that at some times have filled you with fear as you've heard of what's happening. Maybe the whole COVID events of this year have been the least of your worries. Maybe it's been other things that have just completely been massive things that have been going on in your life. And you find yourself filled with fear. And so often when we read of an angel appearing in the Bible, we read of people being filled with fear. And then we read of them being told something. The angel says, "Fear not. Fear not." And that's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? That is a wonderful phrase. Whether it's the sort of terror that those shepherds were experiencing, that fear as they were faced with the scene of the angel appearing and the glory of the Lord shining around them, or whether it's the situations that we find ourselves in, and there's alarm, and there's fear, there is a wonderful phrase that we read, and do you know what? You read it in the book of Genesis. You read it in the book of Revelation. And you read it in lots of places in between. Fear not. You see, it's wonderful, isn't it, that we have a God who is good. And we have a God who is in control. And as we face difficult situations, and as we face alarming situations, and we're not being glib and we're not dismissing the circumstances that people find themselves in, this world finds itself in, this country finds itself in right now, and we're not dismissing the situations that perhaps you as an individual face right now. But it's wonderful that when we look at all that against the backdrop of the Bible, in the context of the Bible, we read words that don't just dismiss our fear, but tell us that when we view those fears in the context that we know that we have a God who is good and a God who is in control, we can actually legitimately take those words to heart. Fear not. So the angel says, fear not. He says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So the angel brings the shepherds good news. Good news, you know, that's the same word from which we get the word gospel. You know, we often tell people, don't we, and sometimes when we're doing the children's club, the Monday club, or the Sunday school, and we'll tell people, you know, gospel means good news. Well, here it is, actually, because this word, good news, is actually the word from which we get gospel. Good news. We could do with that, couldn't we? Our country could do with that, and our world could do with that. There's never a time that we haven't needed that good news. But sometimes we become more aware of it, don't we? Sometimes we become aware of the fact that we need that good news. Good news of great joy. There's nothing frivolous or shallow about this good news. Not just good news that makes us feel temporarily a little happier. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And isn't it wonderful as we look at the message that was given to the shepherds? And as we look at the message that was given at that first Christmas time, if you like, around 2,000 years ago, we see that it wasn't just good news for the shepherds, although it was good news for them. It's good news for all the people. Why? What's this news? What's this news? The shepherds must be wondering by this stage. They must be wondering what's going on. You know, an angel appears. The glory of the Lord shines around them. And they're told, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What's the good news? Unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, just a short distance from where they were, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Let's just dissect that out for a minute. A Saviour. A Saviour. You see, that was what Joseph had been told, wasn't it? By the angel before the Lord Jesus was born. Mary, Matthew 1 and 21, would bear a son. He shall call his name Jesus, means Saviour. For he will save his people from their sins. He'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. A Saviour. Because he would save his people from their sins. And that is wonderful news indeed, isn't it? And it is wonderful news that sets all the rest of what's going on in our world in context. And it sets all of history in context. And it sets our lives in context, doesn't it? A Saviour. Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And that is wonderful, wonderful news, isn't it? And, you know, we must never lose the wonder of just what God did when he gave his son to save us from our sins. To save every person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour from their sins. Our sin that is so filthy in God's sight. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? So often when you look at people in the Bible being brought face to face with the glory of the Lord, they're filled with fear and they're aware of their own unworthiness. You know, I'm thinking about Isaiah, for example, and he's brought face to face, chapter 6, with the glory of the Lord. Comes away saying, woe is me, I'm undone, woe is me, I'm without hope pretty much. I'm in a desperate condition. And that's, of course, the point that we get to, isn't it? When we see something of the holiness and purity and righteousness of God, and we realise just how hopeless in our own strength and our own right we are. We need a saviour, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I love the words that Susanna sang just there. I actually took a photo of them on my phone because I thought, this sums it up, doesn't it? Once upon a splintered cross, Jesus died to rescue us. All of our shame and sin nailed to the tree with him. He came to be our saviour. Isn't it wonderful that he came to die for us on that cross? Because you know what? That's what we needed, was a saviour. Maybe you remember Christmas 2011. And the Queen, as she always does, made her speech. And what she said in her speech that year particularly struck me. Here's what she said. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general important, though they are, but a saviour, with the power to forgive. Of all the needs that our world might have right now, the greatest need of every human being is the need of a saviour, isn't it? Eclipses every other need we might have, great though those needs may be. We need a saviour. And God in his goodness gave his only son to come into this world and be born in the city of David. He was the saviour. So the shepherds were told, unto you is born this day in the city of David a saviour, who is Christ. Now let's just pause there. It's Christ. You know, sometimes we almost just think of Christ as some name that we tag on to Jesus, and we often speak of Jesus Christ, and we do, and that's right. But what does Christ actually mean? Well, it's actually a title. A title that really means the Messiah. Really means the one that actually we see promised all the way through the Old Testament. You see, as we go through the Old Testament, we see time and time again people failing, falling short of God's standard, people sinning, and that sin being that barrier between us and God. And we see the promise that God would send a deliverer. God would send the Christ. You know, think 700 years or thereabouts before the Lord Jesus was born. And Isaiah prophesied this. He said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace. Let's hold that thought, because peace is something we'll hear about more in a little while. And so this one who was born is a saviour who is Christ. The fulfilment of prophecy. The one whom God had promised he would send. A saviour who is Christ. And get this. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a saviour who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. Now here is something amazing. Here is something quite astounding, really. You know, sometimes we get so familiar with the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus that we lose something of the wonder of it. You know, we're used to seeing the nativity scenes, and that's great. You know, and we're used to seeing a manger with a baby in it. And we're used to singing Away in a Manger. And then we step back and think, hang on a minute. A baby born, no room for them in the inn, and he's laid in a manger. And then we think, what's a manger? No, it's not something that you put a baby in to sleep normally. It's a place where the animals eat their food from. A feeding trough for animals. And we think, well, that's pretty remarkable. Who's laid in that manger? Who's put in that manger? Who's the one that's there? A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is quite mind-blowing, really. The one who was in that manger is God himself. It's hard to take in, isn't it? The Creator, by whom all things were created. And here he is, become truly human. And they didn't find him in the palace. And they didn't even find him in the inn. They find him in a manger. No room for them in the inn. How does John sum it up? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You get this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Truly God. He made all things. And here he is. And he's the baby lying in a manger. That's just like, wow, isn't it? At the risk of completely failing to sum it up in words, because I can't really. That is amazing, isn't it? A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. You know, it really doesn't surprise you, does it? That the angels, it's almost like they couldn't contain themselves. Verse 13. Suddenly there's a multitude of the heavenly host. Don't know how many. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of angels. And they just couldn't contain themselves. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace. Oh, there's something that people search for, isn't it? Peace. Sometimes they're thinking about peace between countries, or peace between groups of people, or peace with each other. And of course, really, our ultimate need, above every other need, is peace with God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, the shepherds must have been, their hearts must have been full by this point. They must have been pretty taken aback. They've heard the message of good news. A Saviour who's Christ the Lord. What are they going to do? Well, you know, I suppose they could have just said, oh well, that's interesting. Anyway, best get back to work now. And carried on minding their sheep. But they weren't going to do that. They couldn't miss out on seeing for themselves, on finding out for themselves, not just hearing, but responding to the message of good news. And that takes us from our first section, that we must hear the good news, to the second section, we must respond to the good news, verses 15 to 20. So, what did they do? The angels went away into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. We're going to go and we're going to see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. They're not going to settle for just hearing and saying, oh, that's nice. Or, oh, that might be good for somebody else, but it's not really going to affect me, is it? And they're not just going to say, oh, I'm too busy. I'm just going to let this pass me over because I've got too much going on. They're going to say, whatever else I've got going on, whatever else there is that I could be doing, nothing's more important than finding out, acting on this message I've heard, finding out about this thing that God has told me. And so they go and they say, let's go to Bethlehem. We're going to see what's happened. We're going to see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And they go with haste. They don't waste any time, do they? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it important to treat the things of God with urgency? And if God tells us something, to address it and to do it. And God gives them this message. There's a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And they don't decide, I'm just going to leave that till later, or that's for somebody else, or maybe someday when I'm less busy. They go with great haste, and they find it exactly as they've been told. They were told, the sign will be, you'll see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they find this baby lying in a manger with Mary and Joseph. They find it exactly as they'd been told it would be. And that's always the way of it with God, isn't it? You know, God tells it as it is. God cannot lie, and God will always tell us the truth. And God tells us the truth about ourselves. He tells us about our need of a Saviour. He tells us the absolute truth about our sinful state. And he tells us the truth about the Lord Jesus. And they went and they found it out, and they found it exactly as it was. Exactly as it's been told. Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when we hear God's message to us revealed in God's word, we have to respond, don't we? We have to respond. And of course, we'll never get any further until we respond to that message of the good news of the Saviour who is Christ the Lord. That one who died for us. And until we trust him as our Saviour, and every person must do that. And then when we read something in God's word, do you know what we do? We read it and we respond. And so the shepherds respond. You know, they don't just settle for hearing. They could have settled for hearing the message that night and they would have been no better off, really. But they responded. They went with haste. They found out that it was just as God said it would be. And you know what they did? They told everyone, didn't they? It was almost that they couldn't stop talking about it. You can imagine it, can't you? You've just seen an angel. You've seen the glory of the Lord shining around. You've seen this multitude of angels saying glory to God in the highest. You've been told about a Saviour who's Christ the Lord. You go down into Bethlehem, you find a baby lying in a manger. It was all just as God said. You're not going to be able to stop talking about it. Do you know what? This Christmas and into 2021 and the rest of our lives, let's make it our desire, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, that your heart's so full of him that you can't stop talking about him. Isn't that the way it should be? That we talk about him because that's our desire. We talk about him because that's who we want to talk about. And we talk about him. And they told everyone, didn't they? They said, they told everyone what they'd heard. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And then they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Glorifying and praising God. Do you know what? We've got so much to glorify and praise God for. Okay? And in the midst of all that this year has been and continues to be, we need to lift our eyes, don't we? We need to lift our eyes beyond it all. And I'm not dismissing the difficulties and, you know, painful circumstances that some of you have gone through and go through this year. But we lift our eyes, don't we? We lift our eyes and we see that beyond all that, above our circumstances, we get so much to glorify and praise God for. This year may not have been what we wanted it to be. It may not be, it almost certainly hasn't been what we expected it to be. God's still in control. And his Son is still the Saviour, Christ, the Lord, given for us. And that means we've got lots to be thankful for, doesn't it? Whatever else it is that we're facing, we've got lots to be thankful for. So, we must hear the good news. We must respond to the good news. Trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, the one who died for us, the one who is the Saviour. So as we wrap this up, let's take a step back for a moment. You know, if you had tried to guess who would be the first to hear of the birth of the Saviour, I wonder who you would have guessed. Or let's imagine that you had been asked to contribute to a focus group to work out a strategy for getting this message out. Well, you might have said, well, maybe some of the priests, some of the folks in the temple, maybe the scribes, some of the religious authorities, or maybe the king. Maybe we'll go to someone like that, get the message out. I suspect that none of us, if we didn't know what actually happened, would have probably said, well, how about a bunch of shepherds? You know, not highly regarded in society. Pretty much on the edge of religious circles. Not even highly enough thought of that their testimony will be accepted in the court. Not on the radar of the religious leaders. And we probably wouldn't have thought shepherds, would we? But you know, the wonderful news of the Bible is that it's not just good news for some people. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You know, good news not just for those who think they've got it all together and all sorted out. Good news for those who know they haven't got it sorted out. Good news for those who've come face to face with the truth that's the truth about every one of us. That we're sinners who need a Saviour. It's good news for us all. And it really is good news when we need it most, because you know what? We need that good news. And we need to hold on to that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas. You maybe saw the words of the song that Sophia sang, "O Come, All You Unfaithful." And I was reading just a couple of days ago, there's an article that was published a couple of days ago by Bob Coughlin, who co-wrote that song along with Lisa Clough. And Bob tells the story of how the song came about. Here's what he says. Actually, he quotes Lisa Clough's own words. And she talks of how that she actually wrote the words for that song essentially a few Christmases ago. And Bob Coughlin helped her to fine-tune in the words and so on, tweak things. But essentially, she'd written the words to this song a few Christmases ago. And Lisa says this about when she wrote it a few Christmases ago. She says, "I was struggling. It had been a long year and a half." She was into some of the difficulties and pain, real pain that she had faced in her life. Finances were stressful. She was battling a deep relational bitterness. And she says, "My church was having their annual service where they kick off the Christmas season with carols and special songs, and I, for once, wasn't singing. I told them that I wouldn't be able to sing, but what they didn't know was that I was too overcome with shame to stand on stage before my church. That Sunday morning, I stood at my seat as they began to sing, 'O Come All Ye Faithful,' and the first line of the song just clobbered me. It hit me like a giant wave of guilt. 'O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.' I remember hearing those words and thinking, I have been so unfaithful. My joy has dwindled. and I'm a triumphant failure. And I didn't sing the rest of the service. I drove home, my mind still churning. Is that really who is invited to come to Jesus? The faithful, the joyful, the triumphant? If so, then I'm hopeless. Thankfully, later that afternoon, the Holy Spirit reminded me of Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest found in his life, his death, and his resurrection, not my own. That evening I had a strong conviction to write a song for myself and for the weary, the broken, and the ashamed. And that was the song that Sophia sang to us. Oh, come all you unfaithful, come weak and unstable, come, know you are not alone. Come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Come, bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. He is the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. So come, though you have nothing. Come, he is the offering. Come, see what your God has done. You know, we probably all go through times when we struggle, don't we? Maybe you've known the Lord Jesus as your Saviour for many years. Maybe you've walked with him for many years. But maybe this year's been a struggle. Maybe it's a struggle right now. And maybe circumstances and pain and fear, whatever it is, start to eat away at your joy and you struggle. And sometimes praying becomes a struggle. Sometimes reading your Bible becomes a struggle. And then we come back to this message of that first Christmas, don't we? To you is born this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And if we found ourselves drifting, maybe you have, and you found yourself struggling, where do we run to? We run to the only one we know to run to, don't we? We run to him, and we come to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And wherever we find ourselves this evening, and whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, and if it has been that tough year, and if it continues to be that tough Christmas for you, what do? We come. And we come to him. Now,